In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Along with several other saints that are commemorated today, there is a pair of martyrs, Saints Epimachus and Gordian, whom we remember on this day, on October 31st. And these martyrs suffered during the time of Julian the Apostate. You know, under Constantine, there was the Edict of Milan, which made it so that Christians were no longer persecuted in the empire. But then Julian the Apostate came along, and he wanted to go back to paganism, to restore paganism. He went away from Christ, and he went towards the worship of idols, and he tried to lead people into that as well. And so he reestablished a persecution of Christians. And so it was under this Julian the Apostate that these two men were brought to trial as Christians, Epimachus and Gordian. And as they were being tried by the judge tried to convince them, you know, to turn away from Christ and to acknowledge the gods, the pagan gods, the Roman gods, and to offer sacrifice to them. And so he was saying, well, you know, why should you remain faithful to this God who clearly can't save you from us killing you and so on? And they said, we will never renounce the true God who created all things. He made you too, by the way. He made all things. And then he said, but what about the gods? What about, you know, these other gods? Didn't they also do great things? But these men said, no. Those other gods are demons, and they can't create anything. They can't do anything good. All they can do is evil. All they can do is to corrupt and to distort the good things that God makes. So with these very simple words, they cut through the falsehoods of the enemy. They cut through the falsehoods of the devil and those falsehoods that were being expressed by that judge, and they made it absolutely clear. For them, it was crystal clear that they must serve Christ no matter what, and that there was nothing else worth living for than our Lord and His love. So they cut right through all of those falsehoods. Now, with the fact that we're remembering Saints Epimachus and Gordian, the name Gordian brings to mind the story of the Gordian knot. Do you all know this story? There's a legend, and I won't go into all of the back story, the back legend, but it has to do with King Midas. But there came to be a particular old wagon, this cart, that was tied to the city wall of this particular city that became known as Gordium in Asia Minor. And it was tied with this very intricate knot that was known as the Gordian knot, after a particular King Gordius. So, and according to this legend, the one who could come and untie the knot would become the ruler of all of Asia. This is the way it was expressed. And so, in the year 333, along came Alexander the Great. And he came to this city, and he heard about this knot, and he began to work on it to try to loosen the knot. And after a while, he wasn't having any success, and he became frustrated, and so he pulled out his sword and sliced right through the knot. And as it turned out, he became the ruler of all of Asia. You know, the oracle came true about Alexander. And of course, people use this story as an example of, let's say, I don't know, creative thinking and dealing with a problem. You see? But for us, we can apply this spiritually. And this is exactly what Saint Gordian and Saint Epimachus did. They cut through the knot of falsehood with the sword of truth, with the sword of the gospel, with the sword of our Lord Jesus Christ. They cut through the confusion. And this is something that we all have to learn how to do, because the world creates lots of knots around us and within us. The world comes in and confuses us with all kinds of lies, with all kinds of falsehoods. And we have to learn to recognize the truth and to cut through all of that falsehood and to remember with absolute clarity what we've been given, what we've been taught, what the Lord has taught us. So oftentimes we're faced with dilemmas in our lives. We're faced with things that confuse us. But the Lord can bring us clarity when we seek it from Him. So we must always be seeking that clarity from the Lord. Now, in today's epistle, we hear from the Apostle Paul in his second epistle to the Corinthians. And here he describes a situation in which he is suffering something. He describes it as a thorn in the flesh that he has, even as a messenger of Satan, an angel of Satan. He describes this dilemma, this struggle that he has. And he's really suffering. And he says that he besought the Lord three times. He begged the Lord to heal him three times. But he wasn't healed. He wasn't delivered from that thorn in the flesh. But then comes the clarity in the midst of this situation. What does the Lord say to the Apostle Paul? He says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Wow. He had this Gordian knot. He couldn't figure out how to deal with this thorn in the flesh. And then along comes this word that's so simple from the Lord, and it cuts right through it. The Lord doesn't just make the problem vanish. That's not the point. But it's no longer a knot that's binding him and preventing him from being able to do what he must do. This is what the Lord does. He brings clarity. And so St. Paul is able to, having received this clarity from the Lord, having heard this word of inspiration and hope, even in the midst of a struggle, even in the midst of a suffering, he's able to set aside his concern for himself. You know, he's been praying that God would heal him. He's able to set aside that concern for himself and continue his work. And in spite of whatever that thorn in the flesh is, whatever sufferings, and we know, in fact, that St. Paul suffered many things. It seems that he had trouble with his eyesight, you know, that he was losing his sight. We know that he was attacked and he was beaten and he was left for dead multiple times, and he went through all kinds of trials and tribulations. And in spite of all of that, what did he accomplish? What did he not accomplish? All of the epistles that he wrote, all of the places that he traveled, traveling around the world, bringing people to Christ, doing incredible work, spreading the gospel. But the Lord makes it possible for him by this word of grace, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness," which cuts through all of the confusion, all of the despondency, the despair, the temptation to give up, to lose heart, to lose hope. Christ cuts through all of it. Now we come to the gospel today. In today's gospel, we hear about the rich man and Lazarus. And of course, this is a parable that the Lord is telling. And it's important for us to recognize to whom he's telling the parable. Who is it that he's speaking to when he tells this parable? Right before we hear this parable, it says that he's speaking to the Pharisees and speaking about how they are those who love riches. Or in other words, they are those who love themselves. So he's speaking to us and addressing our self-love. Our love for riches, our love for wealth, ultimately our love for ourselves. The fact that we make idols of ourselves. The Lord is addressing this. And so we hear him tell this parable, this story, and how there was this particular rich man who all his life lived selfishly. And at the same time, there was this poor man, Lazarus, destitute, having nothing, and the rich man offered him no help. The rich man was totally self-absorbed, totally self-centered. And even the dogs were more merciful than the rich man to Lazarus. They came and licked his sores, at least, as he was suffering. And so what the Lord says is after the rich man dies and Lazarus dies, the rich man finds himself in torments in this lake of fire, you know, in Hades. And the poor man Lazarus finds himself comforted in the bosom of Abraham. So, we find here again a situation where there's like this knot. There's this confusion. And so the rich man is on the one side of this great gulf, and he speaks to Abraham and he says, "Father Abraham, here I am, suffering, tormented, and my throat is parched. Could you please send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and to come and to quench my thirst and to give me relief in my suffering?" Now, there's something that we have to notice about this. Even now, the rich man expects someone else to serve him. You see? Even now, he expects Lazarus to come and be his servant. But I imagine, what if the rich man, instead of saying that, what if he had said, "Forgive me, Lazarus. Forgive me for ignoring you in your need. Forgive me for treating you like garbage and not like a human being. Forgive me for this. Forgive me, Father Abraham. Forgive me. And now, please, permit me, if it be possible, to come there and to serve Lazarus like I should have done in my life. Like I should have done, but I failed to do. Permit me now to come and to be Lazarus's servant." What if he had said that instead of, "Let Lazarus come and serve me"? Perhaps then that gulf would have vanished. But as it is, when he asks this of Abraham, Abraham says, "Son," showing that, you know, there's mercy. The Lord is expressing mercy even for this one who is in Hades, even for this one who has lived in a self-centered way. The Lord is still showing mercy through expressing it this way. Because remember, Christ is telling this parable. So Abraham says to the rich man, "Son, you know, the one whom I love, the one whom I wish I could, whose torments I wish I could ease. Unfortunately, there's this great gulf, you know, this chasm that exists between us and you. And those who would want to cross over from there to here can't, and those who would want to cross over from here to there can't." But we could ask, what is this gulf? And what can be done about this gulf? And here again, we think of that Gordian knot and the fact that the Lord always cuts through the lies in our life. The Lord cuts through the lie that we can have our cake and eat it too, as this rich man seems to think. He cuts through the lie that you can live self-centeredly and expect joy in the kingdom of heaven. If we're self-centered, you know, self-centered people create an unbridgeable chasm. And then, even though the rich man seems to desire that, he says, "Abraham, could you send Lazarus or send someone back to my brothers, you know, and maybe they will repent." But it's probably safe to assume that the rich man's brothers are kind of like him. In which case, because this is what Abraham says, if they don't receive Moses and the prophets, he says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And the rich man says, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." In other words, we can say, "I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the resurrection." But unless we lay aside our selfishness and serve God and serve others, it does us no good. We may claim all kinds of excuses for not serving God and for not serving others. "I'm too weak. I'm too poor. I hurt. I'm tired." You know, we make all kinds of excuses for simply not being faithful to the Lord, and for our selfishness. But St. Paul cuts through that Gordian knot. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He cuts through that in his own life by this word from the Lord. And as we said, St. Paul, in spite of all of the obstacles and all of the weaknesses that he struggled with and that he encountered, he did the Lord's work. He served the Lord faithfully. He served his brothers and sisters. And we can do the same. We may not be able to do as much as St. Paul, but we can follow his example in serving God faithfully. We can follow his example in washing one another's feet, in caring for one another, beginning with our own family members, in showing mercy to one another, even when we're hurting, even when we're sorrowing, even when we're confused, when we feel overwhelmed by things in this life. We can remember the word of the Lord and cut through that knot. So let us not listen to the enemy's lies. Let us not be persuaded by the enemy to pity ourselves. Let us not allow the enemy to influence us in making all of these excuses for ourselves, all these reasons why we can't serve God and why we can't serve one another. Rather, may the Lord cut through the knot of falsehood that's within us and bring us clarity like that of St. Paul and St. Gordian and St. Epimachus, that even in the midst of sorrows, even in the midst of tribulations, even when we have thorns in the flesh, even as weak as we may be, it's possible for us to lay aside our self-centeredness and to truly love God and to truly love others with our whole heart and to serve the Lord and to serve our neighbor and to glorify our God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.